Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is April 17th, 2017. And, well, we have a new derivative out there. It's called the CBO, the Collateralized Bovine Obligation. And where does it come from? None other than China. John Rubino is here to discuss the implications. John, good morning.
Hey, Kerry. Yeah, suddenly China, or finally China, is starting to enter that the credit crisis that everybody's been predicting for them for such a long time. So let's do a little background first on these guys. Basically, yeah. China entered the 1980s as really a third world country in a lot of ways, and they decided to industrialize. And they really went for it. They basically set up these local government agencies that were able to funnel effectively unlimited amounts of debt to any company that wanted to get big in a basic industry. So they took on massive amounts of debt and became the world's biggest producer of cement and steel and aluminum, and unfortunately overdid it. You know, they created these huge behemoths in these basic industries, but they destabilized the global markets for those things in the process. And so now you get gluts everywhere, and the prices are falling in a lot of these industries to the point where these companies can't pay their bills anymore. You know, they can't cover the debts that they've taken on. And so China is now doing something sort of like Japan did in the 1990s when they had a bubble. And instead of letting the bad debts be worked off through default, they just propped up all these zombie industries. And so just lately, China saw their biggest dairy company get into trouble and start to fail. And its stock has just collapsed. And there's a corporate scandal there and everything. And they're trying to figure out how to bail it out. And now the world's biggest aluminum producer, which is also a Chinese company, has effectively collapsed. And they're going to the government and saying that there will be civil unrest unless the government bails them out. You know, and so this process can go on. You know, the government can create a lot of new Chinese currency and hand it to these companies to keep them propped up as long as the currency itself holds its value. Mm-hmm. So in effect, if China's going to do it, Japan, which apparently they are, they're going to have to take on even more debt now, even though they're already one of the most heavily indebted countries in the world. They've almost doubled their debt to GDP in the last 15 years. They're going to have to really go for it now and take on huge amounts of debt to prop up these companies that will never be viable again, because the world is awash in, you know, milk and cement and steel and name the basic commodity. And there's too much of it out there. So to prop up the world's biggest maker of something like cement or steel or aluminum or whatever means that you guarantee the glut goes on forever. And you also guarantee that the trading partners that you're disadvantaging by doing this are going to retaliate against you and make your situation even worse by blocking the entry or putting tariffs on the stuff that you're trying to sell to them. So that's China's situation now, and it's not clear how they get out of it without a crisis. And of course, they have no idea how to get out of it because this whole market thing is still new to these guys. You know, they've only been a quote unquote capitalist country for 20 years. And the guys in charge didn't grow up and didn't have their formative experiences within a market-based system. So to them, it's completely natural to bail out everything in sight and nationalize these companies, because why not? why shouldn't the state own all of basic industry in a major country? And, you know, we'll find out why not pretty soon, it looks like.
What I found really funny about the dairy, China Huishan Dairy Holdings, so they operate the largest number of dairy farms in the country, or were. And they went bust a while back. So when they were really on the skids, what do? They take a quarter of its herd, roughly 50,000 animals, and they do a sell leaseback of cows for $152 million. And, you know, this is madness here. That's why I said if it was the U.S., they wouldn't have done the sell leaseback. We would have just done a collateralized bovine obligation and called it a day, right? I mean, they're a little bit behind the curve.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at that and you say, this is purely a Ponzi scheme here. And the economy it doesn't have a sustainable model for growth. And just forget about growth, sustenance here. If they're not growing at like 80% a year, they're going to blow up. And that's what we're seeing here. And I think this is the tip of the iceberg.
Well, it's definitely the tip of the iceberg, because all of these local financing entities, they're part of what's called the shadow banking system in China. And we don't know what they've done in the last decade. There's no good information on who they've lent money to and where they got their money from and who owes what to whom. So you can almost guarantee a lot of unpleasant surprises from that kind of a situation when you've got these opaque entities that are really politically motivated rather than economically motivated, who have access to unlimited funds and who are then handing out nearly unlimited amounts of money to companies that are in industries that aren't growing anymore and that are actually shrinking or that are in massive glut or something like that. You know, stuff's going to blow up. And so we're seeing the early stage of that process begin to play out. And, it's already pretty big. These are really big companies. These are too big to fail entities that are blowing up right now. But as you said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. There are, for every one that blows up today, there's probably 100 more out there in China that could cause real damage if they blow up and that are on the verge of blowing up. So you're going to see the Chinese government and the smaller quasi-governmental entities in China start to really do some amazing stuff to try to stave this off. Capital controls are a guarantee going forward. You know, they've had capital controls on for quite a while now because private sector individuals who made a lot of money in the 20-year boom that China engineered see what's happening out there, and they're terrified. So they're trying to get their money out of the country, which is why, you know, Vancouver home prices are through the roof the way they are, and why Seattle's booming and Toronto, Canada. You know, that's Chinese money flowing out of the country and into these supposedly safe haven assets. China's been trying to stop that with capital controls, but thanks to Bitcoin, they haven't completely succeeded.
No, they want to stop it, but only for the masses, not for the people in leadership positions here, right?
Oh yeah, of course. The Chinese leadership are billionaires, just like the Russian leadership, or at least their friends and family are extremely rich. But yeah, they want everybody else to sit tight, trust them, keep the money in the country, and hope everything turns out all right. But it's not going to turn out all right. So no. China is going to be one of those stories where nobody really knows what's going on because we can't trust the information, but it looks bad, you know? And it's possible that that will spook the rest of the financial markets. But it's also possible that the Western central banks are going to be creating so much new currency that China is going to be kind of an isolated problem over there. And then we have to wait for us to blow up.
Yeah.
Well. You know, speaking of which, the French election is coming up, and that's another potential black swan. Because that affects the value of the euro, which affects the European economy in ways that come back to us, you know. So nothing is separate completely anymore. It's all interconnected. And let, you know, Marine Le Pen win in the first round and look like she has a chance in the second round, and then all of a sudden the euro blows up. Or, and I know this is way too soon to speculate really about the Communist Party candidate that it is supposedly soaring in the polls. But if you want a doomsday scenario for the European Union and the Eurozone, picture a runoff election between Marine Le Pen of the far right and this communist guy who now, at least in one poll, has 19% of the vote. That right there would send the euro down by 20% on the day that it became a reality.
Oh God, I can't even imagine. I think that could lead to a full-blown panic here, even though we've known this day was coming one way or the other, but none of you out there wanted to believe that Le Pen could actually win. But every time there's a terrorist attack, you know, let's face it, it really starts to make it look more and more like the far left or right. They're the dominant forces there. But certainly Le Pen, her stock rises every time something happens to destabilize the world here.
And every time there's a crisis or a scandal among the elite, the left also gains, because they're the guys who are running against the 1%.
Yeah.
And when you see basically all the major candidates in France have some kind of a funding scandal or some kind of scam that they were pulling, where they had their relatives on the government payroll and weren't telling anybody about it, or, you know, in Marine Le Pen's case, she got funding from Russia because none of the banks would fund her party in France. And so what does that mean? And so that's the kind of stuff that somebody from the left can run against and do well. So you basically have your version of Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders playing out again in France here, although the stakes are in some ways even higher over there, because the monetary system that those guys are running right now is already fatally flawed, and it's already going to blow up in their faces. So if you take one of the major components of the Eurozone, you know, France is probably the second most important country in that system, mm-hmm. and you give them a tempestuous election in which an anti-Euro person either has a chance of winning or actually does win, and then the system blows up. You know, the Eurozone wouldn't survive a Marine Le Pen presidency or this other guy, this communist, for sure. I mean, how would it function when you've got somebody in charge of the second most important entity in the system who doesn't believe in the system anymore and wants to pull out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think not very long, and that will just jolt all the markets. And look, we don't always talk about gold here and silver, but they've been going up. And why have they been going up? Well, who the heck knows? I think it's probably a lot of it's cyclical that we attribute to external news events, but the Korean thing isn't helping. Trump talking down the dollar isn't helping. And then you get into the imminent demise of the euro, which if it's not Le Pen, it's going to be something else that brings it down, John. All those factors lead us to a higher gold price. We're at 1288 and a half right this minute. As we speak, at 1235 Eastern time, and silver's down 6 cents. It's at 1846, but they both seen big run-ups on this instability and safe haven purchasing. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's cyclical as well. And the cycles were against the precious metals for the past five, almost 6 years. And now they've turned. I mean, you just look at it, like the 30-day price on gold is up 59.30. The 1 year change, which is always interesting, is $54. So they are performing. And more importantly, I think it's the barometer effect.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. There are three or four major reasons why gold and silver ought to be doing well right now. Some of them are technical, some of them are fundamental, some of them are political, but they're all pointing upwards at the moment, you know, and there's no way to know what happens in any market in the next 6 months or 1 year. You know, it's just inherently unpredictable. But longer term, all the big trends point towards precious metals doing really well. And, you know, the biggest overriding trend is that every single major country in the world right now is in essentially the same situation, where they have no choice but to radically increase government spending going forward to stave off some kind of a financial crisis. And then the central banks are going to have to follow along. They've got to fund the government's debt. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really favorable for real assets like farmland and well-chosen energy assets and well-chosen pieces of real estate and gold and silver. You know, that's the kind of thing that leads to a shift in capital away from financial assets, which are made even more risky and more dangerous by the mismanagement of the big countries out there, and into real assets that countries can't mess with as easily. You know, governments can't create more farmland or more beachfront property or more, you know, high-end real estate. And they certainly can't create more gold and silver. So those things tend to be seen as safe havens and more attractive in times when we're screwing up our finances. And, you know, make no mistake, Gary, if we are screwing up our finances on it.
Like right now.
You know, yeah. I mean, individual countries have done worse things than what we're seeing around the world right now, but we've never seen everybody screw up like this all at once. Mm-hmm. And that makes this time similar to past crises in one sense, because governments borrowing too much money and screwing up the currencies is a normal event in the course of history. But everybody doing it once is all at once is completely unique. We've never seen a world where every single major government has an unlimited fiat currency printing press and have chosen to use it on a vast scale. So this has to end really, really badly. But it's not easy to predict at the moment exactly how it plays out, because we've never been here in the sense of everybody doing it all at once before.
Well, let's hope that Jim Rickards is right, that they've got plan B on the table. They're just waiting to implement it, and we'll all be spending STRs at Amazon by the time it's done. I tend to doubt it. Anyway, that's it for this week. So find John's work over at dollarcollapse.com, us at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletters. Any questions, comments on this interview or any others we've done, send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. And the Twitter feed's @KerryLutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. John, we will catch up with you next week, and hopefully more of these pieces will be falling into place.
Okay, Kerry. Talk to you then.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.